about spiritual warfare today. And I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Spiritual warfare. We're going to begin with verse 1. Okay. Amen. Well, I have to get a bigger pulpit. All right, starting with verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments with every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's stop there with verse 6. You might want to leave your Bible open because we're going to look at these verses several times. As believers, each one of us recognize that we were born into a battle, born into a battlefield. In order to successfully live as a follower of Christ in this world, we must know our enemy and his strategies of attack so that we might overcome. It's vital that we understand how battles are won in God's kingdom. Now, in this scripture that we just read, there was a vacuum produced by Paul's absence in Corinth, and it had allowed some false teachers to come in with personal attacks toward Paul and criticism of his ministry. For instance, they were saying, Paul doesn't have any real authority. He's not an important figure in the Corinthian church. Paul writes one thing, but when he's in Corinth, he says another. It's interesting how Paul answers these charges in such a way that it allows him to teach the church about true spiritual warfare. Brothers and sisters, true spiritual warfare teaches us to three things. Number one, to walk in meekness. Walk in meekness. Live in this world with the attitudes of Christ. Walk in meekness. Number two, war through the power of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to fight the battles we face. War through the power of the Spirit. Number three, becoming obedient to the Word of God. Discovering God's Word and following it. Amen. Do you want me to give these to you again?
Yes, please.
Number one is walk in meekness. Live in this world with the attitudes of Christ. Number two is war through the power of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to fight the battles we face. Number three, becoming obedient to the Word of God, discovering God's Word and following it. So what does it mean to walk in meekness? How are we to walk with the attitudes of Jesus Christ? Verse 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, I want to read those two verses also out of the New Living Translation to help us understand these. Now, I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. Is that better? You want me to read it again? Yeah. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I'm begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from the human motives. Now, he's talking about these false teachers. He doesn't want to have to get after them. He wants them to straighten up. Amen? Okay. Paul is dealing with the attacks and criticism, but must decide what his appropriate response to these should be. Some are accusing Paul of being very strong in his letters, but much more gentle when he's in person. Although his response to these accusations carry kind of a jab at their criticisms, yet Paul directs us to two important words, two words we must deal with as we fight in a spiritual warfare. These words were true to Jesus and should be true to us when we're dealing with stressful times. Amen? Meekness and gentleness. Meekness and gentleness. Two attitudes which reflect power under control. Meekness and gentleness reflect power under control. Anytime we go into battle for the Lord, we must go with the right attitudes. Amen? The right attitudes. Now listen, I'm not only amazed at the miracles Jesus did while he was on earth, I'm also amazed at the things he didn't do. Right? He could have called down 10,000 angels, and he didn't do it. Why didn't he have the ground open up and swallow the Pharisees in one large gulp? Why didn't he call Lazarus from the tomb by saying, Lazarus, come forth, and then follow up with Judas, go in. And then roll the stone over it. Now listen again, just because Paul was not a spiritual Rambo, it didn't make him weak. Let me give you an example of power under control. Sometimes a family will have a dog like a German Shepherd. It will scare visitors to death. And if it's not under control, it will tear off some legs. But that same dog will allow the children in the family to sit on top of it, cuddle with it. It'll roll over on its back in submission. It will be gentle. It'll be gentle. That dog is not showing a sign of weakness, but meekness or gentleness. Literally, that dog has power under control. Amen? He could do just as much damage to a family member as a stranger, but it has chosen to become meek and gentle in its relationship to them. Jesus chose to walk among us in a fashion that was controlled. He could have immediately removed all mankind from the face of the earth. He could have said, no more gravity, and watched us all rocket into space. He could have. He had the power to do that. But he controlled it. Now, if you asked a pro tennis player to teach your child some aspects of the game, and when the pro stepped onto the court with your 10-year-old And he returned the ball with all of his might, hitting your child in the middle of his forehead. That person certainly had power to do such a thing, but in meekness, he controls the power for the sake of the other. You with me? Jesus came along restraining his power for our sake. For our sake. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11 tells us that he emptied himself. He emptied himself for the purpose of reaching a lost world. Paul wasn't weak either. Just because he did not come to Corinth with guns blazing, it was his desire to reach the Corinthians with the truth. So Paul came to them in a manner consistent to how Jesus came to others, meek and gentle. We are to be meek and gentle, folks. Meek and gentle. That don't mean you're a weakling. That don't mean you don't have power. That means it's under control. The second part of spiritual warfare is to war through the power of the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to fight the battles you face. All right, verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 say this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." First, Paul shares with the church in Corinth what true spiritual warfare involves. He reminds us that we all have a tendency to fight our battles in our own strength and with our own ability. Verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Our human weapons, listen, our human weapons include our own wisdom, our own resources, our own strengths, and our own gifts. What if we had Bill Gates' money in our budget? Would we be tempted to do some things on our own power? You bet we would. What if we had a group of PhDs here to tell us how to run the church business? Would we attempt to run the church according to their worldly advice? I never forgot or will forget when a pastor from a large church came to speak at a church growth meeting I was attending. We were introduced to multiple tactics and strategies to entice people to attend church. Mail outs, phone calls, many other ideas. The minister said that for every 1,000 contacts, they would add about one new member. Then he made this unforgettable statement. He said, "I think that you could grow a church with these strategies regardless if God had any involvement in it." This stuff works so well, you can build a religious group and never have God involved in any way but his name. Amen. Obviously, saints, weapons of the flesh are not adequate for spiritual battles. Verse number 4 in our text, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 and 12, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." 4 levels of demons come against you and me. 4 levels. I think if we defeat one, we got another one coming. If we defeat him, we still have another one coming. Part of the process or goal of discipleship is to teach people about the true weapons of the kingdom of God. It is essential that we use spiritual weapons rather than our own personal resources. And we must learn exactly how to use these spiritual weapons. Let's consider a few questions. Do we honestly know how to pray? How many of us really understand the Word of God? Are you able to walk in faith or live by faith? How many know how to rest in the righteousness of Christ? Do we all know how to share and defend our Christian faith? And folks, we are told to be strong in the Lord, not strong for the Lord. We're told to be strong in the Lord, not for the Lord. So then, how do I tap into His strength and walk in His Spirit's power? Verse number 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." A large part of being a Christian is not only choosing what to do, but also what not to do. Let's determine to stop reaching for the flesh. Can I say that again? Let's determine not to stop reaching for the flesh. Only when we refuse to operate in the flesh can we hope to face our battles in a divinely powerful way. Suppose you were sent on an assignment that would take you into the actual war room of hell itself. The very place where Satan's strategies are hatched and dispatched through a constant coming and going of demons. What if you were able to smuggle in the largest atomic bomb mankind was able to assemble? And then at a cost of your own life, discharge it there right in the very face of Satan himself. Take this, Lucifer. Boom. The impact upon hell, Satan, and demons would amount to nothing. Nothing. It would be nada. Nothing at all. It'd be like throwing a snowball at a glacier or sand at the Sahara Desert. No effect. We're talking about the spiritual and the natural. Whenever Satan fears, he will work overtime to dissuade us in the pursuit of it, whatever he fears. Instead, the devil encourages us to operate in our flesh all day long. He loves for you to operate in your flesh. Amen? He doesn't care how much money we raise for missions as long as we don't pray for and encourage our missionaries. He don't care if we have a lot of money going their way. He doesn't care how nice a church building is as long as the Word of God is not fully taught there. He doesn't care how many friends you make as long as those friends don't know that Jesus Christ is your friend. Young Moses, at the age of 40, first tried to serve God with the resources of position, pride, and his own physical strength. Old Moses lost all three of those things. No longer did he possess the physical power at 80 that he once had at 40. He was no longer in Pharaoh's family, but now was a lowly shepherd. There was no more pride in his own abilities, but was fearful even to speak out loud. God finally had Moses at a place where Moses must depend on God's weapons and not his own abilities. Some of us, it's harder to learn than others. Amen. There's no way to effectively battle than to operate with a spiritual mindset. no other way to effectively battle than to operate with a spiritual mindset. Spiritual weapons win victories over the strongholds in our lives. They are divinely powerful for the destruction of demonic forces. You think your troubles might have come from natural means. They didn't. They didn't. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. It doesn't matter if it's a little thing. People are young. People are old. We all have battles. Spiritual weapons win victories over the strongholds in our life. They are divinely powerful for the destruction of demonic forces. In ancient times, the stronghold was considered to be one of the most fortified of places. Amen? Covering them by massive stone walls that made them almost impossible to penetrate. Built within the walls were high towers that were used as lookouts to see the oncoming enemy. All of us have battled these strongholds where we have become captive to such a degree that no human resources will ever set us free or give us the victory that we desperately need. Amen. It's there. It's in us. Too many saints have lived in defeat for so long that they have surrendered and no longer consider victory as a possibility. Listen, folks, fear, intimidation, lust, hatred, bitterness, anger, and even pornography. Satan has seduced us with his lies, resulting in towers of defeat, and he has convinced us that this ground will never be won for the kingdom of God. It will never be won, and we receive it. But through the power of God, the destruction of these strongholds will become evident. But it takes the power of God. God has equipped us with the ability to storm the gates of these fortresses and the spiritual weapons that will finally bring us victory. Let me give you a checklist for defeating strongholds. And be sure to get this handout after the service. I'm going to have this at the door. Checklist for defeating strongholds. Number one, have I gone before the presence of the Lord and sought his will and victory over this matter? Number two, have I invested myself in God's word to build his wisdom into my life so that I may understand his will through what he has promised? Number three, have I specifically transferred this battle from my hands into God's and confessed my own defeat and lack of resources, asking for his victory through his supernatural ability? Have I become willing for whatever avenue God might choose in order to produce victory in my life, and will I faithfully rest in the midst of it until his end is accomplished? And number five, will I allow the loss of my reputation for the gain of his glory? Spiritual warfare. Walking in meekness means to live in this world with the attitudes of Christ. War through the power of the Spirit means to allow the Spirit to fight the battles we face. And then the third is becoming obedient to the Word of God, discovering God's Word and following it. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 and 6, Paul shares some of the specifics in order to address a battle of the mind. Number 5, verse 5, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, these two verses are very familiar ones. We have been taught that Satan loves to attack us through suggestions. He speaks directly, targeting our mind. If we are effectively going to defeat his attack, we must remember God's word. We must remember God's word. When we remember, then we can take action through obedience, casting down every imagination and bringing every thought captive. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18 is a list of the armor that is necessary for the victory in our spiritual battles. Saints, please understand this and be quick to obey. The word is clear on our position in battle, and God gives us these directives. We need to have the armor in place to be victorious. We need the armor in place to be victorious. Don't just think this is another part of the Bible. Oh, well, this is important stuff if you're going to live in peace, harmony, joy. This is important stuff if you're going to live in faith. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18 goes this way. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on a breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, let's look at this specifically. The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Truth will be a target in our lives. As God said, is what the enemy asked Eve. Do you know the truth? The breastplate of righteousness. We will be tempted to question our own standing before God. Can I come to Him and pray and expect answers when I have failed? The preparation of the gospel. Can I give an answer for the reasons of my faith so that I stand firm when questioned? Listen, I hate to say this, but a lot of people don't know anything about their faith. They walk to the front of the church one day. We need to know what's going on. We need to have the ability to answer people when they ask us, why are you different? The shield of faith. I will need to deflect a constant attack concerning whether I will trust God or not. Am I going to trust God or not? The helmet of salvation. Satan wants me to question my relationship with God. Am I truly saved? The sword of the Spirit. My necessary offensive weapon is an adequate grasp of the truth of God's word. I want to say that again. The sword of the Spirit, my necessary offensive weapon is an adequate grasp of the truth of God's word. Prayer. Pray always and for one another. This undergirds and provides strength for the fight. you must become obedient to God's word. Put on the armor of God and keep it on. Amen? Keep it on. Now that we are equipped with the armor of God, let's look at the specifics of the battles that Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6. First, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God will be under constant attack from the highest levels of society, even the highest levels of society. Politics, education, entertainment industry, arrogance of individuals will all be speculating things, denying the truth of God that has been revealed to us. They will do it. They will do it. Spiritual warfare means we deal with those lies and half-truths by knowing and proclaiming the true knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? By proclaiming the true knowledge of the Word of God. Satan knows where sin begins, which is in our minds, our thoughts. That's where he attacks us. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, that sin begins in the heart and thoughts. Secondly, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Winning the battle in this world begins with winning the battle in our minds. Satan attacks in your thought life, always lying and deceiving. You must identify those contrary thoughts and take them captive, folks. Satan has, from the beginning, attacked the mind with doubts and questions and suggestions about the character of God. Look at Eve in the garden. Jesus in the wilderness. Eve failed, but Jesus was successful. Amen? He showed us how to take a thought captive. How do I take Satan's lie captive? By catching it with the truth. Denying the lie and catching it with the truth. When disobedience to God's word is offered, you counter it with the truth of his word. You can not only do that when you know the truth and obey the truth. For instance, here's a lie. God won't provide for you, so take care of yourself. The truth, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's a lie. God won't make a way for you, so make one for yourself. Truth, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Amen. Don't let disobedience stay on the list of considerations. When you know what is right and what God wants, then let that be your only consideration. Show disobedience to the door. One of Satan's greatest tactics is the ability to sneak into our lives unnoticed. Then he digs in and he makes a deep, deep stronghold. The key is to be constantly vigilant of the spiritual dangers you face. Constantly vigilant. Be ever watchful and understand what the enemy looks like. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Amen. Run to it, folks. When you face spiritual battles, run to it. So here's how to win. Same thing. Number one, walk in meekness. Live in this world with the attributes of Christ. Number two, war through the power of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to fight the battles we face. Allow the Spirit to fight the battles we face. Number three, becoming obedient to the Word of God. Discovering God's Word and following it. You can only do that if you read it, study it, learn it. There's been times in my life that I wanted to do something, but I held back, knowing these very things. And it's so surprising when you see God's hand in it. He changes things in ways you wouldn't do. We have to trust Him to do that, though, don't we? Walk in meekness, war through the power of the Spirit, and become obedient to the Word of God. That's what you do when all hell breaks loose in your life. And if that hasn't happened to you yet, hold on. I remember beating the floor, crying out, why? Some of you have done the same thing. I could have got up and warred my own flesh. I could tell you stories, but I'm not going to, because my wife would be mad. We were telling Brother Glenn this morning, we're talking about it. You go through things so you can help others. And folks, if you went to a therapist, a Christian therapist, this would cost you $300, what you got today. $100 for each point. And you got it free. Well, if you tithed, you did a little. God doesn't want you to be miserable in a spiritual storm. God wants you to be victorious. And He wants you to walk in security of Him. The Holy Spirit's on your side. You talk about somebody that can change the mind of somebody else. You talk about somebody that can change the circumstances you're facing. That's the Holy Ghost. He can do that. And He loves to do it. Do we grieve Him when we don't ask for His help? Maybe so. But He's willing and waiting. This is the temple. And the Holy Spirit built it. And He lives in it. And He wants us to rely on His power, not our power. You can throw money at situations all day long. They'll just want more money. I want you to be able to fight spiritual warfare. I want you to be able to take that circumstance that's come into your life and know that God's working it for the best. and back away from it and trust God. Sick them, Holy Ghost. That's what I tell my dog when she's playing with her toys. Sick them. You had enough, folks? That's good? Good? Now, I know the Lord gave me this. So some of you are going through battles. Some of you will be going through a battle real quick. So I want you to know how to defend yourself. And I hope you understand everything I said this morning. Three things: walk in meekness, war through the power of the Spirit, and become obedient to the Word of God. Let's stand together.